Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
And thank you so much for tuning in to the Legacy and Faith Show today. So glad that you've joined us. Over the past couple weeks, we've been talking about the difference between Medicare and Medicaid. And last week, I had in studio with me Mark Strzyzewski, and Mark has kindly stayed and recorded another show with me just so we can kind of get through some of this mess of what Medicare is. And so, Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
Mark, remind the listeners about yourself and about Sound Planning Group.
Sure. My company, Sound Planning Group, was started in 1998, though my actual insurance and planning roots go all the way back to 1978. So I'm actually one of those baby boomers that's going to be turning 65 here this summer. So
and doesn't look anything near 65. I'm just going to go out and say well over the radio show. Okay, here we go.
So, that's why we're on radio.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, there's more than one reason why I'm on radio as well. So it's okay. Very good. So so Sound Planning Group is over in Kirkland.
Right.
And I know that people are going to be interested. Maybe they've tuned in last week. At the very end of the show, we ran through some ways to get in contact with you. So I want to do a better job this show. How do people get in contact with Sound Planning Group?
I would offer our local telephone number, which is 425-821-9442. And specifically, I am extension 3 if you'd like to chat with me. And then I think the other number that I want to give is Financial Education Services that offers, in our case, we do 3 different classes in the area. We do Medicare 101, we do Maximizing Social Security, and then we do a Principles of Retirement Planning. And specifically, financialeducationalservices.org, we've got classes coming up here. Our next ones will be May 19th and 22nd. At Bellevue College.
And you also have a Medicare 101. When do you typically run those discussions?
We're doing those right now on a monthly basis.
Okay.
And what we try to do, for example, here in the month of April, we've completed now, we do a series of, we'll start with Medicare, and then the following week we'll do Social Security, and then the following week we'll do our Principles of Retirement Planning. They just kind of build one on another. But certainly when it comes to any kind of retirement planning, you've got to get your Medicare and you've got to get your Social Security decisions correct.
Well, let's get into it. So we need to get our Medicare decisions proper. Last week we discussed that that you can start a little bit before you're 65, but
right,
you only have 63 days after you turn 65 to make your Part A election, correct?
Well, Your Part B election, your A and B election should be accomplished by that time frame.
Okay. Yeah. And we talked about that there are penalties if you decide to lollygag and you actually don't get into the system or you don't sign up in a timely fashion.
Right.
And so let's talk a little bit because there was one gap that we didn't really cover last week, which is what about the individual who is working and
right,
they're 65. So we have a lot of individuals where retirement is just being pushed off. So it's not that you work for a blue collar company for 25 years and you get your watch and you retire anymore. Society has really changed. So we have a lot more individuals that are reaching 65 and continuing to work beyond that age. What would you talk to that specific client to say, these are the things that you need to be concerned about, or these are the things that you need to be thinking about as you pass your 65th birthday and continue to work?
Right. No, great question, because there are many people that are working beyond age 65. I mean, personally, I'm going to work well beyond 65. In my particular case, though, I'm going to, at 65, go on Medicare. However, if you as an individual are working for a company that's providing you great medical benefits and they're still available to you, you know, after age 65, which in many cases they are.
Okay.
Then it's not quite as simple as prior to age 65 when you just potentially went online to enroll for A and B of Medicare. Now what happens is, first, the reality, A is available to you at 65. You can sign up for Part A. You can do that by going online prior to 60. I mean, just prior to 65, it all works out well. But as far as Part B goes, if you're on a medical plan, there's no reason why you would want that Part B coverage because it's costing you money.
Right. And you said last week that it's, about $133 or?
$134.
I missed it by a dollar.
Yeah. Is a standard rate. But it is based on a modified adjusted gross income. So,
now, is that monthly that we pay that? Okay.
Yeah. A modified adjusted gross income. If you're making money beyond certain bands, then you'll pay additional dollars for those Part B.
So now you turn 65 and we need to sign up. Is that regardless of whether we are working or not working?
What happens is we're going to sign up for Part A, the hospital.
Even if you're working?
Yeah, you can do that. That's fine. It kind of serves as a secondary type of insurance.
Okay.
All right. But what happens with your Part B is you delay your Part B. And at the time then you finally do reach that retirement time and you're ready to go onto Medicare, then at that point what happens is you don't go online. You, in fact, have to show up at a Social Security office.
Okay.
So everybody rejoices with that thought. And it's what we would term a special election period. And a special election period, there are a couple of given forms, one that is specifically for Part B and the other that notes a special election. And in this case, the special election is that you've had other coverage. So there's a form that you take to the employer. The employer completes it and signs off on the fact that you've had coverage. And so when you go to the Social Security office and you tell them you want to sign up for Part B, you now have the proof that you had credible coverage, and you don't have to pay the Part B penalties.
So we don't have to actually let the government know or Medicaid know, Medicare know when we turn 65 that we still have coverage. We need to, after the fact, when we retire, demonstrate that the reason I haven't signed up is because I've had coverage. So it's not a notice at the beginning. It's a notice at the end to the government. So please don't fine me and allow me to pay the cheaper rate for the rest of my life. Because if you don't sign up and you miss those magic markers, you said last week it's a lifetime penalty.
Right.
Correct? And so now we have a form. And at the end of our working years, we actually let the government know that I've been covered and I've had credible coverage.
Right.
So at that point, how much time do I have after I've stopped working? Or if my coverage at work ended, because I may not stop working, what if my coverage just stops?
Right. Yeah, you're looking at the same 60-plus days there. By the time that coverage is concluded, you're supposed to have your other coverage in place.
Okay. So now I have my own law office, so I am self-employed.
Right.
So am I. Okay, very good. Now, talk to someone like me because my brain may say, well, I'm working.
Right.
But the issue here is not whether I'm working past the age of 65. The issue is whether I have credible coverage. So what does the government mean by credible coverage, and how do I go through the process of discovering whether or not, if I'm still working, that I either need to sign up or I'm covered?
Yeah, well, credible coverage, if you're purchasing plans, which primarily are going to be on the healthcare exchange right now, they're going to include prescription drug coverage, and they're going to include, you know, basic medical and hospitalization type of coverage. In most cases, these are going to be considered credible coverage. So that's not typically a major issue for you.
And so even someone like me who is self-employed, if I had any other type of outside medical coverage that I'm personally paying for, mm-hmm. I'm still covered because I'm working and I'm paying my own fare on the medical coverage.
You know, let me put it to you this way, using your example as a self-employed person.
Yes.
So you're paying, one of my first questions in trying to evaluate a strategy for you would be, how much are you paying for this coverage? Because what tends to happen is, especially as we're getting 64 into 65 type of things, an individual medical coverage or even small group medical coverage, your premiums are really expensive. I mean, here I am personally, 64, okay, under the quote Affordable Care Act, my current plan has a $7,000 deductible that costs me over $700 a month.
Wow.
So I don't consider that a very good value. I am rejoicing at the thought of going on Medicare.
Okay.
Okay? Because what happens is, and just to understand this too, so anybody who wants to, my birthday's on the 9th, so I accept birthday cards for sure.
Oh, very nice. Happy birthday coming up.
But what happens is that regardless the date of the month, the coverage is always the first of the month. Unless my birthday's on the 1st, then it goes back a month. So my birthday's in the month of June. June 1 is when my coverage will begin.
Okay.
Just so you know that. And what I want to do, again, as I want to determine, you know, what is the cost that I'm paying? If you have a group plan at work and you're saying, okay, well, it's costing me $500 a month. So what you have to do then is you have to actually do a comparison between what traditional Medicare and, say, a supplement or an Advantage plan might do for you. And you might say, well, my Part B premium is $134. I know that's less than $500. Can I pick up something through Medicare that's going to be comparable for less money? And I would say to you, in almost every case, the answer is yes.
So you can help people save money on a monthly basis by going through a personalized discussion. Now, you mentioned last week that this is actually a no-cost service for potential clients, correct?
Right.
So what do they have to lose?
You know, I don't know that they really have much to lose. It's the world, the environment that we're in today. I think that everybody is very shy about trying to take, someone's opinion as, you know, this is the answer and how do I know that I can trust this person, et cetera. And those are all fair. We try to, like, at least within our firm, you know, we do the Better Business Bureau type of rating. You know, we're an A-plus rated company. We are certified senior advisors. Some of our Medicare related people are, and we just do the things that we feel like we need to do to be credible. And thankfully, the majority of the business that we're doing right now, are simply referrals for the very reason that you stated. It's like, why wouldn't you want somebody to help you?
Absolutely. And so, well, I have with me today, Mark Strazeski from Sound Planning Group in Kirkland, Washington, talking about Medicare. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion on the Legacy and Faith Show. Hey, this is Paul Grant, the host of the Legacy and Faith Show on KCIS. I want to personally invite you to an upcoming educational session on the truth about estate planning. There are sessions for every situation and every family that can be found on our website, legacyandfaith.com. I want to specifically highlight our Truth About Estate Planning and Medicaid session that's coming up on Saturday, May 12th at 9:30 a.m. at my Linwood office. If you are interested in proactively preparing your estate plan against Medicaid concerns, then I encourage you to sign up on our website at legacyandfaith.com for our May 12th, 9:30 a.m. session. Again, that's the Truth About Estate Planning with Medicaid focus on Saturday, May 12th in our Linwood office. Sign up at legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's TheBearServices.com.
Planning with Purpose, the law offices of Paul Grant, is accepting applications for a part-time office assistant and is always seeking highly motivated and exceptional attorneys. If you're interested in joining a team that seeks to serve families, then go to LegacyandFaith.com and use the website's email option to express your interest.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And we're back. We've been having a discussion about Medicare with Mark Strzeski from Sound Planning Group in Kirkland. And Mark, there's a couple things. You said that before break that you were about ready to sign up and you were giving some personal examples. So thank you so much for sharing some of your personal life with us. It really brings in some of the discussion points and brings a greater connection to listeners. So thank you for sharing some of your personal life. That's fantastic. A great example. You mentioned that you were rejoicing that you were going to be able to actually take this opportunity because in the overall scheme, you were going to have the opportunity to save yourself some personal money by making this election. But I know that there's some fear out there that if I go on Medicare, that somehow my quality of care, that somehow the doctors aren't going to be available, that my doctor's not going to be available, that there's going to be this massive shift in my health care, and that, like I said, really the quality is going to plummet to such a degree that it's like, well, now what am I going to do? And I'm in the hands of the government. Can you ease some people's fears concerning this transition?
Yeah, I would say that your fears are, this is not the first time I've heard something like that. The really good news is that there truly are some great options through Medicare coverage. Okay, once we have our traditional A and B of Medicare, we have to fill in some gaps. One, we have to get prescription drug coverage, because if we don't get prescription drug coverage, we're looking at penalties too, just like the Part B. All right, but we need prescription drug coverage, and we need to fill in some of the gaps for Medicare. And it's very interesting to note in the world of medical insurance right now, where we've got the large deductibles that are very, very common, most of the time as you head into these Medicare Advantage or Medicare Supplement plans, what you're going to find is that you don't have deductibles.
Really? And so so now you've just thrown out a new term, Medicaid Advantage versus Medicare. I always get them confused. My brain keeps going backwards. Right. I apologize to my listeners. I deal with both of the systems in my law practice. So Medicare is what we're talking about. Advantage versus supplement. So can you give us a little bit of insight with what these differences are?
Yeah, it's an important one, and it's one that everybody has to take a look at. Traditional fee-for-service Medicare A and B, the traditional way to fill in the gaps of Medicare is to utilize a Medicare supplement. That's any of those forms. You see the graph. I can see it in my head so many times. Letters A through N. And the more popular one through the years has been Plan F because everything's covered. Okay, now there's a move to Plan G because it's a little bit less money. Let's just say the comprehensive approach is something that people want. The advantages of this type of a system are that it is federal. So anyone who takes Medicare is going to be in-network, generally speaking, and I can be anywhere in the country, and if I've got a supplement, it's going to work on a federal level. Very, very simple. On the other side of the coin, you have Medicare Advantage plans, which are also called Part C. And Medicare Advantage plans come through private insurance companies, and those private insurance companies, number one, they have to provide everything traditional Medicare does. But they're pretty darn popular right now because they do more than what traditional Medicare, especially in the preventive side of things.
Okay.
If you want annual physicals, if you want hearing or vision, or you potentially are interested in dental coverage, or you want a fitness benefit, any of these type of things, this is sort of reflected in the Medicare Advantage approach. And these are actually very low-cost plans, generally speaking, because CMS, Centers for Medicaid Service, gives those insurance companies the same money that, on average, they would have otherwise spent to take care of somebody in the traditional system. Yeah.
So now we've you just mentioned that there's all these different advantage opportunities, such as preventative, dental, vision. So am I hearing that Medicare does not cover those things
in the traditional
supplemental package?
Right. You just, if you want those things, you have to take them on individually yourself.
Okay. And so what else about anything with the advantage versus the supplemental programs that are out there?
Well, the big thing to keep in mind when you're trying to compare these plans, in the Seattle area, there's two primary networks or delivery systems for these Medicare Advantage. There's a HMO system and there's a PPO system. And the HMO system, I think a lot of people are familiar with, is driven by your relationship with your primary care physician. So I've got my primary care physician. If I need to see a specialist, they're providing that kind of referral. The PPO system is going to allow you a little bit more flexibility in that regard, though I will say in order to be cost effective, you still want to make sure people are in network. So the question or the comment earlier was, well, there's a lot of doctors out there that aren't taking Medicare. And I would say to you, that's generally speaking, not my experience. I would say that what you find is if you have doctors that are in a smaller practice, for example, who are getting closer to retirement, they may just determine that they're going to work with patients that they've already got and maybe don't take on new patients. But there are plenty of physicians, very good ones out there, that are working inside these systems. And that's where I say, when I actually work with somebody, what I have to do is you have to work the process backwards. I always have to begin by asking the question, who are your doctors? Because right. I don't want to make those recommendations for plans that don't include your doctors.
Right. And so we can help a client make this transition with the least amount of change in their life to make sure that they're seeing the right people. Well, I want to shift the discussion just a little bit here for the last part of our show today.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that as people continue to age, there are some gaps in what Medicare can actually do. Now, Medicare is a system that if you are recovering and if you are showing improvement in your health, that it will continue to pay the insurance premiums. But there is this nebulous area that says, it's going to cover everything for me. And you can see where I'm going with this, which is specifically, what if we enter into a time period that we need long-term assistance and we need care for a longer period of time when we're not able to care for ourselves. Is Medicare still going to fill this place for us?
Well, only for a very short time. Yeah. Medicare is, as you're noting, the premise behind it is that if you're broke, we'll fix you. That's it. You know, long-term care is going to move into, we're in a chronic condition and this is going to be ongoing and Medicare is not going to cover that. Not beyond our first 100 days, depending if you've got a supplement or an advantage plan, how that's going to work specifically for you. But beyond that point in time, I think it's very interesting to note this. Most people want to think that Medicare is going to cover their long-term care. It's the ostrich with their head in the sand kind of a deal.
Yeah, but the government is supposed to rescue us in totality, are they not?
I mean, they will.
I'm supposed to be able to keep all my money and have the government support me. Unfortunately, our society is moving into a much greater thinking like this. And I think that, that as we talk about this specific issue, that there's noise out there. I don't even know who's talking out there, but it's out there someplace that says, don't worry, we've got your back and the government's going to fill in the gaps. But this is just simply not true.
No, it's not true. And thus the conversation about what's called long-term care insurance. Or in your case, the different kind of planning that you can do, you know, inside an estate through various trusts or whatever. I mean, that's your area of expertise.
Thank you so much for plugging me, too. I appreciate that.
It's not my deal.
Well done. You're hired, by the way.
Yeah, it's a scenario that says that, unfortunately, you're probably not going to skate by this issue unscathed. The reality is we're all going to get older, and we're all going to need help at various levels. Statistically, I've seen recently that they estimate that 60% will need care for at least 90 days or greater at some point or time in their life. So if you've got a husband and wife, statistically, there's 100% likely right. that at least one of you will.
Yeah. Well, and that's really not a discussion that is intended to induce or create fear. And so we know that we serve an amazing, incredible God, and His name is Prince of Peace. And He has given us the Comforter and the Holy Spirit. So we don't want to end today's discussion with any type of a fear-based issue. But what we do want to make sure you understand is that all of this requires planning.
Yep.
We need to have a discussion, whether it's with the Medicare, whether it's for gap insurance, whether it is for long-term care insurance. And if none of those things fit with long-term care, then let's have the estate planning discussion, because there are tools that I can assist with through my firm to make sure that there's a safety net for you and your family. Mark, very briefly as we end today's show, how can people get in contact with you?
I would say the easiest way to get a hold of me is our telephone number at the office, 425-821-9442 is the general office number. I am extension 3.
And great, there's websites also, but give Mark a call. Thank you so much for joining me today and also last week. You've been a wealth of knowledge, so thank you so much. And thank you, listeners, for joining the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find me at legacyandfaith.com. Look forward to your questions. You can sign up for an educational session of mine, as well as find all of our podcasts at legacyandfaith.com. Thank you so much for joining us on the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.